Good morning, everybody. Well, welcome to our all-age family worship for, where are we now? Yes, it's April. I started our May family service by saying it's a wet and windy day today, and today I can say, well, it's a sunny and windy day, so probably snowy and windy in May, but we'll have to wait and see anyway. Well, welcome to our service. A lot of people I know are away, but for whatever reason, God wants us here. And I'm sure we will enter into his courts with praise and thanksgiving. Father, it's good to have fun and joy in the house of God. But the greatest joy and the greatest fun comes from our salvation in Jesus Christ. I pray that you may today reveal yourself to all, so that those who know you may come closer, those who do not know you may experience you and come to be saved for the very first time. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, what I'm going to do is I'm going to read the story of Jonah. Julie's going to give you a mime interpretation of it, which you will copy. So if Julie stands here with her back to the congregation, and then you can all see what Julie's doing by the congregation. Anyone else like to join in at the last minute? Didn't think so. Right. This is the story of Jonah. It says here, by the way, it says, the Bible says a whale, doesn't say a whale swallowed Jonah, it says a big fish. Jonah probably didn't know what exactly swallowed him. Maybe all he saw were teeth, tongues, and tonsils. There we are then, biblical fact for you folks. Jonah didn't plan to go swimming during a hurricane. It just worked out that way. He wasn't supposed to be anywhere near the water. He was supposed to be on a mission from God to the desert. Jonah was a prophet in Israel, and God told him to take a message to the city of Nineveh. That's in the land that's now Iraq. But back then, it was the capital of the meanest empire ever, Assyria. In our country today, we have pictures of people hanging on our walls in government buildings. So did the Assyrians, but the people in their pictures were dead. These were all the enemies they had slain, and some of them were Jews, some of them were Jonah's people. Jonah was a Jew, and he was supposed to tell the people of Nineveh that God was going to destroy their wicked city. But Jonah thought if he did that, it would be the last thing he ever did. He was sure they would kill him. Nineveh was east. Jonah went west. He bought a ticket for a ship sailing in the Mediterranean Sea, but God was watching. He stirred up a huge storm. When the ship was about to sink, Jonah told the sailors it was all his fault. He said that if they threw him overboard, God would stop the storm. And that's what happened. Jonah didn't drown. A fish swallowed him. Jonah took the hint. Oh, sorry, missed a bit. Then, this is going to be good, it spat him out onto the beach. Jonah took God's hint. He went to Nineveh and delivered God's message. To Jonah's great surprise, the people prayed to God and said they were sorry for their sins. So God didn't destroy the city. Jonah was afraid his trip to Nineveh would kill him. Instead, his trip saved 120,000 people living in Nineveh. The end. Thank you, everybody. Can we have our first scripture, please? Which is Psalm, was it 139? Okay, this is actually a good thing for us to read together, because it's actually also very prophetic, very personal. So here we go. It says, "You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know me when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hear me, you hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light becomes night around me, even darkness will not be dark to you. The light will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you." We just hold it right there. That's our very first scripture from the Psalms. And it says a very fundamental but a very true thing, that God knows us intimately. He knows where we are. He knows what we're doing. He knows what we're thinking. I read quite a lot of science fiction, and you might need to pray for me, I don't know. But what one writer did say, he said that if ever they developed human telepathy, you know, the ability to read each other's minds, society would fall apart. Can you imagine it? You know, me here preaching, and there's some of you thinking, well, this is a load of rubbish. Or, you know, hasn't it finished yet? Or I'm thinking, where did he get that sweater from? Or say, what do you think of the service today? It was really good. Absolutely. It would fall apart. You could tell if people were lying. You'd know everyone's emotions. And so we put on a front. We put on a front. You know, we put on an acceptable face. You know what's happened. You know, you're at home. The kids are ill. You know, the house is on fire. Your car's broken down. You split your best trousers. You come to church. Hi, Dave. How's it going? Oh, it's fine. It's fine. You know, because that's what we put a face on. But you can't do that with God. God knows us. He knew us from the very beginning. He knows when we go and when we come. He knows where we are up and down. He knows if we're hiding in the dark. He knows if we're living in the light. But the interesting thing is that if I could read your mind, it might change our relationship. But God loves us. He loves us. He says that even while we were sinners, God sent Jesus to save us. So it doesn't really matter what we feel about ourselves. It's what God feels about us. He feels that each one of us is perfectly and wonderfully made. And he has a place for you in heaven if you choose to accept it through his Son, Jesus Christ. So what a thing. God knows you intimately. God is watching this service. He's watching each one of you. And he's not saying, he's saying, I love you. I love you. I want the best for you. I want you to come to me. Which leads us quite interestingly into our second scripture, which is from Jonah chapter 1. Relatively short one, so I hope you do know the story. It says, "The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed to Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went on board and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord." So there's the opening three or four verses of the book of Jonah. Hopefully you know the story. If you don't, read it. It's only about two pages in most Bibles. So Jonah is a prophet. He's someone who speaks on behalf of God. And God gives a message. Go to Nineveh and preach to them, because their sins have come before me, and I'm going to destroy that wicked city. As we heard earlier, Jonah didn't want to do this, firstly because he thought he might get killed. Secondly, they were traditionally enemies. You know, it was like preaching to your worst enemy, and you might think, well, not sure I want to do that. So Jonah decides to flee from God. Going back to our psalm, not quite so easy as it appears on paper. You cannot flee from God. Indeed, the title of this message was, I think, You Can Run, But You Can't Hide from God. So he goes down to the port, and he says to the sea captain, he says, oh, where's your ship going? He says, we be going to Tarshish, we be. And he says, well, where's Tarshish as compared to Nineveh? He says, well, he says, Nineveh's over there, and Tarshish is over there. He says, oh, I'm on board. So he gets on board the boat, and he's fleeing away from God. I read a book once called Jonah, the Reluctant Prophet, which I thought was being a bit generous. I mean, I would have sort of called it, you know, Jonah, the Disobedient Prophet, Jonah, the Naughty Prophet, Jonah, the Self-Willed Prophet. Thank goodness we're not like that. Thank goodness, you know, we don't argue with God. We don't think we know better. When God tells us to do something, we do it, don't we? Or perhaps we don't. But you can't flee away from God. And what's interesting is that by trying to flee away from God, Jonah actually makes things worse, although God makes them better. He could have got in a boat, gone to Nineveh, preached, and it would have been good. But he gets in this boat going into the opposite direction. As we know, a great storm came up. Jonah's asleep during this. I obviously haven't got a very guilty conscience. They wake him up and he says, it's me, I'm to blame, you must throw me overboard. Interesting enough, the sailors who weren't believers say, no, we're not going to do that. They tried everything else they could. They threw the cargo overboard. In the end, they throw Jonah over, and the minute he hits the water, the storm stops. And then what happens? No, not yet the fish. It says that the crew of the ship praised and thanked the God of Jonah. So his disobedience has brought praise to God through unbelievers. Unbelievable. As we know, Jonah is swallowed by the big fish and is in there for 3 days. Some people say, well, this is a bit far-fetched, but there are modern accounts of people being swallowed by big fish. Look in the on Google or Wikipedia and you'll find them all there. So it's not as far-fetched as it sounds. Anyway, God can do anything. He could have had Jonah swallowed by a goldfish if he wanted to. So he's in there for 3 days. And then it says he spat him up onto the shore. Blech. And Jonah comes out. He's had a revelation in there. He's realized he's gone wrong. He says, Lord, no, please forgive me. I'm down in the depths. Please get me out of here. I'm not a celebrity. Get me out of here. And he goes into Nineveh and he preaches the gospel to this wicked city, this evil, wicked city. And revival breaks out. Oh no, we repent. And it starts with the people, and eventually the king of Nineveh gets down off his throne, takes his crown off, and prostrates himself before God. And in fact, I'm reading a book this week about something totally different, and they suddenly talked about this. Isn't it interesting that revival starts at ground level? It's only later on that the authorities catch up. So Jonah preaches to Nineveh, and there's a great repentance, and there's a great coming to the Lord. And it would have been so much easier if Jonah had listened to God and done the right thing rather than trying to do his own thing and going his own way. Some interesting things, though, is that the book I read earlier from the thing for children says that Jonah means dove. I didn't realize that. I thought, that's rather odd. I thought Jonah would have meant sort of naughty man or Mr. Deaf Ears or something. But no, it means dove. And I thought, that's interesting, isn't it? Because you remember on Noah's Ark, when they were looking for dry land, they sent the birds out. They sent the dove out. And the dove came back with the vine in its mouth. So the dove is a symbol of hope. And Jonah was a symbol of hope for Nineveh. Also, of course, the dove is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. And one of the main jobs of the Holy Spirit is to convict people of sin and bring them to repentance. So Jonah was, if you like, acting as an envoy of the Holy Spirit when he went to Nineveh. Very, very interesting. So even the things that we do wrong, even our disobedience can bring glory to God. Or that sometimes we need to actually get down to our knees and say, on second thoughts, God, I think actually you may be right on this one. It's interesting. I've got a little testimony here. Not as dramatic as Jonah's. I've not been swallowed by any aquatic animals that I've noticed. But Some of you may know I developed arthritis in my knees during COVID-1. I was literally walking along the road. I was outside Cameron and Bugs' house, coincidence, I presume, and suddenly I was struck down with, I could hardly walk, and some of you will know this. This was 3 or 4 years ago, gradually got better, but one of the things that Fiona's friend recommended was the pain management course run by Nuffield Health, and they're out at the Nuffield Health place next to the crematorium. You can make your own jokes there. So I got on the course, and you go for 12 weeks, and it's 2 sessions a week, and you get kept in lifestyle advice, and they put you in the gym. Never been in a gym in my life. I thought, well, perhaps this will work for me. And actually, I quite enjoyed it. Anyway, what they do is you have 12 weeks of free healthcare. You then have 12 weeks of free membership of the gym. After that, you then get 12 weeks of gym membership at half price. See, that's the pull to get you in. So I had a look. Half price in their gym, this was December, is £54. That's half price. I thought, oh, that seems a bit steep. So I made some inquiries, and I asked about White Oak up there. And White Oak is at least half that, especially if you are above Penn State pension age. So I thought, well, shall I go to Nuffield, you know, the one I know and love, you know, where I've got all my mates, or shall I go up to White Oak? And people saying, oh, no, White Oak, the showers are freezing. Oh, it's dreadful there, you can't park. I thought, what am I going to do? So I did what any proper Christian would do. I put it before God and said, look, God, should I go to White Oak or should I go to Nuffield? And I really didn't think I got an answer. So then I did prayer number 2. I think we're in Gideon territory now. I thought, well, I'm going back to Nuffield. I'm going to go in and set the standing order up today unless you stop me. And then I thought, I really do want to go to Nuffield. I said, unless you stop me so that I live just around the corner here, I go along Kingswood Avenue and I can't turn left to go onto the bypass. I thought, well, that's fixed in. Anyway, 2 o'clock, I set off for Nuffield for my normal gym session. Down on Kingswood Avenue, oh, what are these police cars doing here? And believe me or not, there was trouble on the M25. There was solid traffic all the way up to here. You literally couldn't turn left. So I turned right. I headed towards White Oak. I was thinking, oh, actually, I could get to Nuffield. I could go through town. I could go past the Bull. And again, I thought, well, hang on a minute, you know. I looked in my rear mirror, saw this big fish coming up behind me. I thought, no, no. So that's how I ended up at White Oak. Not quite the same thing, but, you know, sometimes, if you're not listening, God will send a big fish. And so there we are. I'm at White Oak now. I don't think I've seen many of you there, but, you know, I'm there. And I'm looking so incredibly fit and healthy these days. Jonah, then. The disobedient, the defo, the reluctant prophet, didn't listen to God or preferred his own scheme and plan over what God had planned for him. The question I'm going to ask you is, what's God saying to you? Is God saying to you something now? Has he said something to you in the past that you need to readdress or you need to look into? Or is he saying something to you now that you need to look into? Let's have our final scripture, please. Oh, God, I got the title right. So we're now in Matthew's gospel. It said, then some of the Pharisees and teachers of the law said to him, teacher, we want to see a sign from you. They're talking to Jesus. He answered, a wicked and adulterous generation asks for a sign, but none will be given it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will stand up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and now someone greater than Jonah is here. The Queen of South will rise at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for she came from the ends of the earth to listen to Solomon's wisdom. And now someone greater than Solomon is here. So the words of Jesus. Jesus has a very bad habit. I don't mean bad in the bad sense. Bad for us in that there are a lot of scriptures in the Old Testament, you're giving these a rest, which are a bit controversial, you know, like Genesis, creation story. Jonah in the whale, Noah in the ark. Even some Christians don't believe it. But Jesus specifically mentions each one of these in the New Testament. So, you know, you can argue with me, Dave, you know, you're not right believing in creation or Jonah in the ark. So, well, you argue with Jesus. Jesus seemed to think it was real. And what's particularly interesting here is that Jesus takes this story of the disobedient prophet and uses it to say something about his coming glorification at Easter on the cross. He says, just as Jonah was in the belly of the whale for 3 days, so the Son of Man, I'm going to be in the ground for 3 days and I'm going to rise. And just as Jonah brought salvation to Nineveh, someone greater than Jonah said, I'm going to bring salvation to the whole world, to all those who believe. He mentions the Queen of Sheba. I find her fascinating, the Queen of Sheba. I hope she's in heaven. I'd like to meet her. You know, she fascinates me for some reason. Perhaps it's all the spices. But she came to hear Solomon. And when she saw Solomon's wisdom, she saw something of the God that he served. So this is interesting, isn't it? Jonah and Jesus. Jonah and Jesus. Some similarities, but some differences. Jesus was the obedient prophet. We're told that on the night before the crucifixion, he said, Lord, if you can take this cup of suffering from me, please do it. But not your will, but mine be done. He says, whatever it is you're asking me to do, I'm going to do it. Jonah sort of said, I'm out of here. So who are you? Are you a Jonah type or a Jesus type? Do you take God at his word and follow it? Or do you try and negotiate your way around the bits that you don't like? Because one day Jesus is going to come back. He's going to come back as king and he's going to rule. And at that day, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he alone is the King of glory. And at that day, you need to make sure you're in the Jesus camp and not outside it. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the story of Jonah, written so many thousands of years ago, but still speaks to us today. It speaks to us, Lord, of the fact that we are made in God's image, that we can hear from God, and that we can choose to follow what we hear. It also warns us, Lord, that hearing from God and following God has consequences for ourselves and others if we do or do not do it. Help us, Lord, to be people who have ears that hear, minds that understand, and hearts and wills that follow, so we may be a blessing to ourselves and others. We ask this in Jesus' name.